All right, Psalm 145 and verse 7. The Bible says this, "They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness." He's talking about the righteous. And he's not necessarily talking about the future in eternity. He's talking about when they're old in age. And as you mature in the Lord, and as you get old, and the nearer that you come to graduating out of here, this is how it'll be for you. "They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness." When you get old, the older you get, the more you ought to have to boast about the Lord in. And I mean not boast of yourself, but to praise the Lord for, better said, to exalt his name. "Utter the memory of thy great goodness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness." All right, now I just want to talk to you about some simple little thought here tonight. And I hope you'll listen. Father, please bless your word and help us now. I pray we'd all listen to this. It's some important stuff, real helpful to us. Oh, if we could know this when we're young, it would so help us so much. Please help us all to listen in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now the young, when you're young, you live on dreams. There's some other scriptures I want to read as we go along here. And when you're old, you live on memories. Have you ever noticed that that's a fact? That's a true fact of life. Young people, they live in their dreams. It's what they're gonna do. It's what they hope to do. It's what they plan to do. It's what they think they're gonna do. What they're gonna have. It's what they think their life is gonna be like. But it's a dream. It's not real. There's no fact to it. It's all imagination, and it's all hope, anticipation. But it's not anything real. Old people live on memories. You talk to anybody that's older, the older they get, the more they talk about things that have happened in their life, things they remember. I know you hear that from us a lot too. It'll happen to you too. Unless your life is blank and empty, you'll have a lot to talk about when you get old, about what you've done, what you've experienced, the people you've met, the things you've learned, the things you've had in life. Life's pretty short. I told Mrs. Alcorn up there yesterday, I read here a while back, and this person said this. He said, the days are long, but the years are short. That's the way life is. And, you know, that's how it is. Life gets by pretty quick. Both are the way God's just made things. The way this thing has been designed and worked out. It works that way. They're both God-given abilities. Dreaming and remembering. Dreaming is looking forward without nothing really to go by except what you want. But memory is what you remember that you have really experienced. You don't remember stuff that didn't happen unless you're kooky, unless you've lost your mind, unless you are still dreaming. A lot of people dream so much that they really do lose their mind. I talked to a fellow the other day, and I really think it seems to me like he's losing his grip because he's dreamed and dreamed and dreamed, and now he's old and he can't quit dreaming and he ain't got nothing to remember except his dreams that he dreamed all of his life. It's a bad deal. It's okay to dream when you're young. Everybody does it. God made us that way. Can't go forward in life unless you got some kind of dream about things. Ambition, some aspiration that you've got to have, to go, to be, whatever. Everybody wants their life to be wonderful. And everybody dreams that it's going to be wonderful. What happens, though, along the way is you hit some potholes and have some wrecks, and it don't turn out as wonderful as you thought it was going to be. And sometimes it turns out way more wonderful than you ever dreamed that it would be. And that happens very often that way when you know God, when you meet God along the way, and God becomes your Lord, then your life turns out to be much more wonderful than you ever anticipated, even if it is full of difficulties and troubles along the way. We're made in the image and likeness of God, and so we have these two abilities, dreaming and remembering. You think animals have that? I don't think so, not in any degree like we do. We're made in the image and likeness of God. This is a God-like thing to dream, to remember. I know animals have some memory because, you know, a dog can remember you. I'll never forget, we had some neighbors when we lived down in Dexter, and they had this dog. Well, we all had dogs when I was a kid. We had a dog. We didn't have a whole pack of dogs, and they stayed outside, not in the house. But everywhere we went, the dog went. I mean, he was just one of us, and everybody had their dog. Well, this neighbor's dog, his name was Inky, and he was with us all the time. Well, we moved away, and it was a year and a half or something like that. The neighbor came up, and they brought that dog with them. And that dog got out, and he seen me, and he was very leery. But when he inched up to me and smelled of me, and as soon as he smelled me, he just all happy. I mean, it was so obvious that he remembered who I was. So I know they remember some things. But they don't remember and ponder and gather all the blessings of their life in their memory. I don't believe that. I believe that's a thing that we do. To live by faith in God requires the ability to look into the future with hopeful expectation. I mean, you can't really have faith in God unless you dream. And I'm not talking about imagine. I'm just talking about looking forward. You understand that? That's what we're talking about, dreaming. I'm not talking about having dreams at night and seeing the future and having God reveal things to you in a dream while you're asleep. Nah. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the hope. It's a dream. You understand what I'm saying to you? When you were young, you had your dreams. And you thought your life was going to turn out just like your dreams. But if I had everybody here who's older to raise their hand and say, did your dreams come true? They'd say, well, not like I thought they would, for sure. Right. I guarantee you that's everybody's testimony about that. Now, true faith is not based on imagination, but on reality and truth. So to live by faith requires the ability to look into the future with hope and expectation. But true faith's not based on imagination. We're not just imagining it. We read it in this book, and God said this is what's coming. And this is what we got to look forward to. And so we look forward to that with anticipation. And that's part of our faith in God, because we believe Him and believe what He says. And that's where our hope lies. And so we think about it. We think about heaven. And right now, it's like a dream when we were young. But this dream is coming true. And we've got facts to back it up. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. It's the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Dreams and memories are both powerful tools for guiding our heart after the path and the pathway of our life. Guiding our heart and the pathway of our life. It's what we remember and what we dream. We're always looking back and we're always looking forward. Now, when you're young, you ain't got too far back to look. That's the deal. When you're young, you ain't got much to draw on from the past. Not much experience. Zero when you start. And you know, by the time you get 20 years old, you still ain't got much experience to draw on. Unless you've had a real rough life and been taught things that most people nowadays are not taught by that age. In fact, that's what life's made of. That's what it's made of. Dreams and memories. If you didn't have either one of them, what would life be? Well, it'd be like an animal. You'd just be like an animal. You wouldn't have them. What does your mind think about? Dreams and memories. But the introduction of sin into this world has turned both of these things into powerful tools for our ruination and misery. That's what sin has done. Now, if sin wasn't they would just be a blessing both ways. But sin has turned them into tools to really work us over. Therefore, when we step back and observe the course of humanity, especially through our own heart and life, we can see the value and the danger of these things, these dreams and memories that we're talking about here. Just look back at how humanity, the history of it, and what all has happened. Think of all the wars and all the oppression and all of the misery that this world has known. And you can boil it down, these things right here. A lot of the oppression, the wars, the murders, all of that has come from memories. Because somebody did something wrong and it's revenge. Vengeance. That's where a lot of that comes from, isn't it? They won't let it go. They remember. A lot of it is dreams. People with ambitions like Adolf Hitler going to build the Third Reich, you know, and the thousand year Reich and all of that. That's dreams, see? That's imaginations and ambitions that were wicked and evil. So, and it caused a lot of death. Millions, I think like 52 million people died in World War II, at least, that they could count and know about. So these two things are really important. You need to think about it, because you got them. You got some. You got your dreams. You got your memories. All right? Now, young people need to understand clearly that dreams are not reality. You know, a dream has no substance. And it's made up purely of desire and imagination. Think with me. Memories are made of real stuff. Dreams are made of desire and imagination. It's something you want. It's something that you imagine, but it's not real. And when you're young, a young person needs to have that hammered into them, especially young. Old people dream dreams too, and they need to understand this. But it's not a real thing. As you go through life of dreaming, you're experiencing things that are going to be memories down the road. And it's like I mentioned this man a while ago that I was talking about. He spent his life dreaming only. And now the only memories he has is of all the dreams that he had that have never come to be anything. So he's empty. And he's like a dog chasing his tail around and around and around. And that's his life. And you'll lose your mind with that kind of stuff. The memory of the just is blessed. That goes both ways. We usually take it to mean the memory of some just person is blessed. Well, that's true, but that's not exactly what it says. The memory of the just is blessed. A righteous person who lives his life for God is going to have a memory, a bunch of them, when he gets old, that's going to be a blessing to him as he thinks back on his life. And the things God has done for him, like the verse we read here, they shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness. You've ever been around an old person who's godly, who's lived for God for all of their life, and all they've got to tell you about what God's done for them, how good God is, and how faithful He is? David the king said, I've been young and now I'm old, and I can tell you, he said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, or his seed beckoned bread. So when he's old, he said, I'm old, and I can tell you from my experience, God does what he says. God's true to his word. God is real. How did he learn that? By living. And all of the memories that he had when he was old was of seeing God do that. And that ought to go for me. That ought to be for you too. Everybody in here. You ought to. When you get old, your memory ought to be that kind of memory. Because the memory of the just is blessed. A dream is an illusion. It's a forced or deceived belief in something that does not exist. It's an illusion. It's an imagination. That's all it is. Now, you're going to do it. You're going to dream like that. But you just got to keep a hold of the fact that it's not real. It's what you want. It's what you'd like. It's what you hope for. But people, You know, they crash and burn a lot of times because their dreams are smashed. And it smashes them. They can't accept the fact that they're not going to get what they've always dreamed of having. Everybody imagines the ideal life, but very few people have the ideal life. Something enters your life that just messes up your dreams altogether. What you thought it would be. What you had hoped it would be. But it's been that way all through the history of human life here on earth. Don't you know that? I've thought about this before. You go back through your family tree and you look at all these people, and you know there were a lot of broken homes back then. Probably as much as there is now. But it wasn't through divorce, it was through death. I've known a lot of old people. I've read about a lot of them in a family tree. And back then it was not anything unusual at all for a man and a woman to be married. And she'd had kids before with somebody else, and he'd had kids before with somebody else. But they were widowed. They didn't divorce. And, you know, they weren't adulterers that way. There were some back then, but that wasn't the way it happened. But don't you think that when they got married, they planned and dreamed? Their dream was to live together until they were old and they both died together. But it didn't happen that way. Life's full of that. All right? Our youthful dreams usually lead us to disappointment and discouragement and despair while we're pursuing them so determinedly. It's okay to dream, but you better leave room for God to intervene in your dreams. You better take into account that life is going to throw you a curve now and then, and it's not. You better just accept the fact that your ideal is not going to happen just like you think it is. And you better have faith in God to believe that His way is better than your way, and that He loves you, and that He's going to do what's best for you. And so that when your dream is smashed, you just trust God and praise Him anyway. And wait to see what He's going to do for you instead of what you were going to do for yourself. If we all had our own way and we ordered our own life and we fulfilled our own dreams, how do you reckon we would turn out? We've all had dreams when we were young that if they would have been accomplished, we'd have been shipwrecked long ago. Did you ever think about what if you'd have married that girl instead of this one? Did you ever think about what if you'd have married that boy instead of this one? See what I mean? Don't you thank God that He spared you from disaster? But you were sure it was right at the time. And you were sure you were on course to have your dreams. Thank God He's wiser than we are. And the sooner we learn that, the better off we'll be. A goal and a dream are two different things. A goal and a dream are two different things. To have a goal is to have a destination. And a destination is a place that exists. You know, the kids left yesterday. They were headed for those cabins where they're at right now. 1,100 miles from here. Well, they got there. When they left yesterday, couldn't see them, but they knew they were there. It's a real place. You know, it's not a place that's imaginary. A goal is like that. You set a goal and you work toward that goal. That's not a dream. Because a goal is real. A dream is about something that's not real. Young people dream of having a perfect marriage and being successful in their career or whatever. But they do not have that as a goal. You understand what I'm saying to you? They dream about it and they want it and they want it to be that way. But everything they do just about is contrary. I mean, it's going to be a hindrance. They're not doing what they need to do to get to that goal because it's a dream. So they're just fooling around, messing around, doing all kinds of stupid stuff, making stupid choices, making foolish decisions, and it's taking them away from where their dream is. See? You see what I mean? Have a goal. Goal's better than a dream. It's something You know, it's this. What they've got is simply something that they hope for and expect to materialize out of nowhere someday. It's just going to happen someday. It's kind of like the Calvinists think you're just going to get saved someday, just against your own will and everything. It's just going to happen if you're one of them. That's the way young people are about their dreams. They just think someday it's just going to happen. It's like the lottery. I'll hit it one of these days. It's not something they set out to gain by traveling the road that leads them there. But a dream ain't. A goal is. You travel the road that leads there. You know, Lonzo says he wants to be a welder. Well, now, if he just goofs off and, you know, don't ever try to learn, don't ever go to the place where you learn. I mean, ain't you supposed to go to VOTEC this year? Yeah. Well, if you skip, you ain't going to be a welder. That's the way it is. And if you go there and you won't listen and learn, you won't be a welder. I mean, you got to have a goal, and then you got to do what you got to do to get to that goal. But you can just sit around and dream about it and say, well, I'm going to be president someday. Nah, that's a poor goal to have, let me tell you right now. I mean, if you ever spit your gum out on the parking lot or somebody stepped in it, you're done. You can't be president. They'll have a video of it, sure as the world. All right, youth doesn't regard time and lives as if time doesn't matter. They just don't regard time. And they live as if it doesn't matter, see? They, you know, age and memory force us to reckon according to time. I know I hammer on it a lot, but man, you ought to keep some kind of a journal in your life. Because you will not remember things properly when you get old if you don't. Your memory gets messed with. Especially in a time like we live, where we're just overcharged and overstimulated with information and false information and just so much that we're bombarded with all the time. You're not going to remember things right. I know, because I've kept a journal for 30-some years. And I remember things happening. But in my mind, this happened first and then this happened. Or this happened during this time. And when I go back there and look, no, that's not right. I wrote it down when it happened, so I know the order in which things happen. It's helped me a lot. It'll matter to you, because you got to reckon with time when you get older. You're forced to. When you're young, time's like hitting the lottery. You got $1 million, man. There ain't no end to it. I can buy this. I can buy that. And I still got money, and I ain't going to worry about it. I'll just see something. I'll buy. You do that with your time as you live. You don't count a day as nothing, a month as nothing, a year as nothing. What's 2 years? You know, you just waste 2 years of your life. Waste hours sitting there flipping on a phone or looking at Facebook or whatever. Waste it. But the older you get and the less time you got, the more important it seems to you. So youth doesn't regard time and lives like it doesn't matter. When you get older, it starts mattering to you. The old need to understand that life's about looking forward and not back. Now, the fallacy of people when they get old is that they start just looking back and they quit looking forward. And it's a struggle for people when they get old to do that, to keep looking forward. Because their time's running out. And all they're thinking about is all their life and trying to put it all together like a puzzle and try to make sense out of it. That's what they're doing. Trying to figure out where they made their mistakes, or when they did things right, or what this was all about. And they lose that forward look that the youth have. I hope y'all are listening. I hope you're staying with me, because it's pretty simple, but it's pretty profound too. We can't live in the past. And others get tired of hearing our same old stories over and over. Especially young people, because they're looking forward and they're dreaming. And they don't care about it. Your past. They don't care about the past. Now, they will someday, but when they're young, they don't. They're dreaming too much. They're living in a fantasy that doesn't exist. And that sounds harsh, but that is the truth. Every one of us was that way when we were young. Young people are still that way. And we need to take that into account in dealing with them and trying to reason with them. You need to take that into account. They're not living in facts and reality. They're living in dreams. What they're going to do and what they're going to be. And what they're going to do is fail. And what they're going to be is disappointed. And what's going to happen to them is they're going to be brokenhearted and hurt someday. And they don't think that's going to happen. They're too smart for that. They're too clever for that. I mean, they're too lucky for that. I mean, they got it figured out. And they know how to beat this thing, they think. But as you get older, you know. You come down that same road and you understand. But we got to realize that and trying to reason with them. The old spend a great deal of their time and thoughts going through their memories and trying to analyze and rearrange it all so as to make it all fit together and make sense. And that's not a bad thing, but in the process, they need to guard against allowing their present to be lost in the past. Again, that's like the man I was mentioning a while ago. You cannot talk to him without all you hear is the same old stories of his past over and over and over. And he's always trying to figure out what happened and why and how it all fit together. And, you know, and he's just lost in it. Nowhere to go forward because you're stuck on the merry-go-round of the past. You know, you got to... The failures of life and the troubles of life and the disappointments of life and the injustices of life, you got to throw all that in the ditch, man, and move on. If you just wallow in that, you ain't going one step farther forward. You're just going to go backwards. Inequality of life ends when we stop looking forward. The old man will dream dreams. I got that verse to read here in a little bit. From back in the Old Testament, it's repeated in the book of Acts. The old man will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. The old men are dreaming, and that means they're remembering. It's a little different on the word there. I mean, I'm talking about dreams here looking forward, but the old men dreaming dreams in those scriptures, it's talking about they're remembering, and the young men are looking forward. And that's what the Spirit of God does to them. See? That's what the Scripture says. That's what that verse says. The memory of the old should be a minister, looking forward to themselves and to those who are younger. You know, when you get old, I made mention the other night here, your memory will be your minister or it'll be your tormentor. It'll be your comforter or it'll be your tormentor. And so you ought to be careful about what memories you're making through life. Tell you, this, what are sweet memories made out of? Fights? Falling outs? Injustices that people do to you? Or sometime when you got even with somebody? Is that what your sweet memories are going to be about when you get old? Of course not. They're going to be bitter. Bitter, bitter. Maybe sweet when you do it, you think, but... When you get old, it'll be like that thing the prophet swallowed. It was sweet going down, but when it got in his belly, it was bitter. The memory of the good memories that are going to be a blessing when you get old are the good things of life. The good deeds you done, the good people you met, the kindness, the love, the mercy, the forgiveness, the godliness in people. That's the things that are going to mean something to you when you get old. Until you acquire some memories to live on, you're going to live on dreams. That's why young people do that. They don't have any memories to live on. They don't have anything to comfort their soul from the past yet. In a world that's so out of order, lives are wrecked and ruined, and memories that many people have are of nothing but misery and grief. You see this generation of young people and what a mess they are. We're all concerned. You know what's wrong? All the memories they've got are bitter. Their parents have divorced. Their parents have fought. Their parents have been immoral and whoremongers and whores, and they've lived that way before them, and they've not cared for them. They've just lived for themselves. And the children have grown up in that. I saw on the news there, where down in Australia, some woman that was 24, I think, and her mother was 57, she cut her mother's head off in front of the four-year-old child that was in the house, and stabbed her to death and cut her head off and throwed it out on the sidewalk and all of this in front of this child. All right, now, what about that four-year-old child? Reckon he's going to remember that? Reckon these little children, reckon all these demon-possessed young people that are so crazy and mindless and zombie, what kind of memories are floating around in their heads? And what kind of dreams do they have? None. They've never been inspired. They've never been pointed in any direction to have any dreams. And all the memories they've got are of evil and terrible injustice and all that. So what do you expect them to do besides be like that? Hopeless and mean. When homes are broken up and the most intimate loves of our life are scattered to others, that memory becomes bitter. I've heard people say, you know, getting divorced, well, the kids will deal with it. They'll deal with it. No, they won't deal with it. You're going to mess them up for their life. It's wrong. Divorce is never the will of God. Now, I understand that it happens sometimes. And sometimes it's unavoidable for one of the parties, at least. But it still shouldn't happen. And when it does, it messes up lives. It messes up the lives of the ones divorcing. It messes up the lives of everybody that it touches. Because it's a wrong, it's an evil. And it's a thing that has consequences. You don't just end a marriage like you started it and it's just like it never existed. No, sir. Well, when God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. You better not do it. When God says, let not man do that, man better not do that. And if he does that, he better realize there's going to be serious, grave consequences. When memory becomes a tormentor instead of a minister, they have nothing to sustain their heart, and so they continue to pursue after dreams. You understand that? When all your memories are just bitter, what do? Well, you pursue after dreams. You live in fantasy. It creates a, you know, when people do that in mass, it creates a society like we got now that's insane, living in fantasy. What do you think this deal is about boys not knowing they're boys, thinking they're girls, and girls thinking they're boys, and everybody thinking it's okay, and what do you think this is all about? Is it just some chance thing that's happened here? No, it's the result of the breakdown of everything. And it has to do with this subject that we're talking about right now. That's a large part of the reason so many older people are trying to appear and live like they're still young. What is the deal? You know? 300-pound women imagine that they're curvy and sexy, and they put them on these magazines and stuff. 65-year-old women, 70-year-old women imagine that they're still like 25-year-old. Men, same way. Men drive around with their sports cars and you know, trying to mess around with young women, have 18-year-old wife when you're 55 years old. What in the world is the matter with people? I mean, I know that a lot of people think I'm crazy, but I ain't that crazy. I wouldn't want to do that again. I married an 18-year-old girl one time. That's enough. That's right. It ain't no insult. That's just the truth. Don't want to do it again. Come too far to go back now. What's the matter with them people? They're living in fantasy. They're dreaming. They're imagining what's not really real. And why are they doing it? Well, because a lot of times it's because what they did have is just a big stinking mess and disaster. They married and they lived their lives and they chased after money and they did all kinds of things and it all, they were married 20, 30, 40 years and it all blew up and crashed and it all turned into a big stinking pile of garbage and they just don't want to think about it and all the memory, every time they think about anything they remember, it's just bitter. So what do? You just turn to dreaming again. Dreaming that you're 25 when you're 65. And trying to act like you're 25 when you're 65. Now you just break your bones. That's what you'll do. It's also why a lot of people live in some kind of nostalgic, make-believe world where they're trying to recreate the atmosphere and the feelings of long gone days, like high school and teenage years. I know people my age and they're trying to relive their high school years, trying to pretend that they're, they listen to that music and they pretend and they just think about it and talk about it and what we did and all this back in. And I don't even ever think about that. What in the world? I'm not in high school no more. Why should I? To remember it, yeah, okay, it's fun. We had fun, this, that, and the other, but man, that's almost 50 years ago now. So what in the world has that got to do with now? Why would I want to try to imagine that I'm still there? I'm still like that. That world still exists. It doesn't exist. It's gone. It's a memory, that's all. Remember it, move on. Now those, none of them things work very good in a soul. They don't work any good in a soul. But they only magnify that miserable, lonely feeling of loss. Y'all listening to me, y'all getting this? Those who truly live for God and allow Him to order their lives acquire quality memories as they go along that are invaluable to them and to others later. I like to hear some old person tell me about what God has done for them in their life back years ago. I like to hear them tell about their experiences in church on a mission field or preaching. I like to hear their memories. It's a blessing to me. I don't know how to get this across to you. But other people's memories have been a real blessing to me. I think about Brother Owen telling me about his dad and about other people as he grew up. He's told me about his growing up years and all those people. And that is a blessing to me, just to know that. You see? If you live for God, the memories you accumulate are not only going to minister to you, but they'll minister to other people too. I like to hear an old man preach and tell about how it used to be. You need to know how it used to be. All of us do. We need that connection. We don't need to lose that connection through the memories of people back how it used to be. Young people here ain't going to know if we don't share that like that. The memory of the just is blessed, as Proverbs 10, verse 7. But the name of the wicked shall rot. Memory of the just, his own memory, is a minister that blesses and helps him, and it helps others. In Genesis chapter 42 and verse 9, it says this, and Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them, his brothers. It had been many, many years, and all he had was a dream, and it looked like it was never going to happen. Ever from the time he dreamed that dream, from that day forward, everything that happened in his life took him farther and farther and farther from that dream ever coming to pass. But when he looked down on his brothers that day, he recognized them, hadn't seen them for years. But he recognized him. And the first thing that went through Joseph's mind, the first thought when he saw his brothers, the dreams. The dream that he dreamed. He remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them. Words can't express what memory can do for your soul when it becomes your minister. It can comfort beyond what your emotions can handle. For example, godly people who were a special blessing who've gone on. Seth sang one of Brother Earl's songs here the other night. And it's just, you know, I know everybody here didn't know him and they don't, you know, but I did. And just the remembrance is just a blessing all over again. That's what it means when the memory of the just is blessed. See? It can comfort beyond what your emotions can handle. You know, when all you hear is people fighting and falling out and evil all around and all the confusion and the apathy and the despite for the things of God and all, it sure is good for your soul to hear something that's wonderful and encouraging. Stuff like that really does help me when I remember. Psalmist said, I will remember. He's on the bottom. Everything's law. Everything's as wrong as it can be. But he said, I will remember my song in the night. To remember means to call to remembrance. You remember it on purpose. You think of it on purpose. You call that memory up on purpose. Willfully. That's to remember. That's what God doesn't do with our sins. The Bible says He does not remember. He said, I will remember your sins no more. He doesn't call them up. It ain't that He's forgot or that He don't know about them. He just ain't going to think about them on purpose. Well, we need to think about the good things on purpose. We need to refuse to think about the bitter bad things on purpose. It'll help you. It can instruct you in ways that no mere knowledge of facts could ever do. Just the example, the godly people who are a special blessing to you, your memory of those, your good memories, they can instruct you in a way that knowledge can't do. You see, we try to teach people and we try to learn it ourselves. Just, here's the rules. 1, 2, 3, and that's the rules. Now don't do this and don't do that and don't do this. And they'll be okay. But if you live life long enough and you watch people long enough, you begin to figure it out a little better than that, a little deeper than that. You get to watching and understanding things and you see the same story over and over and how it starts and how it ends and you begin to understand. It's more than just thou shalt not. If you do that, this is what's going to happen. And so your memory has to be called up for that. I've seen this before. I've watched this before. So I know how this is going to turn out. You see? It serves a good purpose. It serves to help give you wisdom that you can't learn just by learning words and rules and all of that. It can give you discernment in matters that you'd otherwise be completely blind toward. Experience teaches you. If you remember. But this thing of, well, I don't remember. You don't lay it to heart. If you don't, when you see something and you watch something play out, lay it to heart. Mark it down. Remember it. Mark it, the Bible. Those are the words that the Bible uses about how y'all do. Remember these things. You know, see here, I've got a finger that's blue and I've got a thumb that's blue. You know what happened? I hit him with a hammer. Both of them the same day, working on Dakota's siding up there. Well, you know, you think that's the first time I ever done that? No, it ain't. But here I am, this old. You'd think that when I don't like using a hammer because that's what happens. One reason is I can't see the nail anymore. Another reason is because I'm too clumsy. And I shake a lot. Yeah, and it's a bad position and all that. But I learned a long time ago, man, don't hold that nail and swing that hammer hard as you can swing it. Don't do that. Bad idea. You know how I learned it? Mashing the guts out of my fingers. And then going around with that thing for a day or two or three, draining the blood out from under your fingernail falling off. I mean, you do that enough, you're going to think twice when you start swinging that hammer towards your thumb. I remember working with the preacher, and he's always so wild, and we'd be up in a tight place, and he'd want me to hold the nail because he had to hold on with one hand, you know, and you hold the nail and I'll swing the hammer. And I said, no, sir, ain't going to do that. If I'm going to mash my finger, I'm going to do it myself. But see, you learn. Why, you know, most of what we learn is through pain. Did you ever see anybody just don't never learn? Did you ever see anybody and say, boy, ain't you ever going to learn? Can't you learn nothing? Why you just keep doing the same dumb thing over and over? Well, don't go through life like that with your memory thing. I mean, remember things. Exercise that memory. You got plenty of room to store stuff. You do. You can remember more than you think you can. So work it. Try it. The bad thing is that old people quit dreaming and young people don't remember. You see? That's a bad thing about life. Remember that both the ability to dream and to remember are by God's design, and are meant to keep us and make us more like God Himself. When the Spirit of God is poured out, sin's corruption... I can't see my words here. When the Spirit of God is poured out, sin's corruption of God's design is corrected. That's what this verse in Joel is about. Joel 2:28. Here's what it says. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. So it's what I said to you earlier. When the Spirit of God's poured out, it corrects this problem that the young people don't remember, and the old men quit dreaming. See? Old men need to look forward, and the young men need to, when they ain't got no memories to go on, they need to go on some old men's memories. They need that ingredient in their life. Sins turn dreams into stumbling blocks and memory into a tormentor. That's what sin does. True salvation, which brings the Holy Spirit of God into our body and soul, gives us back the ability to dream properly even when we're old. Old men ought to be able to look forward. If not for themselves, for the ones coming along behind them. You remember that poem Brother Parker said, quoted so many times. I've heard him say it so many times, but it's about the old man who was building the bridge. And the whole gist of it was, you know, the young man come along and said, "Old man, why are you building this bridge? You don't need it. What's it?" He said, "No, I'm building it for you. Because it's a chasm wide and you're going to have to come across someday. And I'm doing it for you." So the young men need to listen to the old men's memories, and the young men need to dream, look forward, and the old men need to look forward too for the young men. All right. It also gives the young a discernment for the future that's based on fact and not on illusions. I know I'm saying a lot here. I hope you're getting what I'm saying here. It's a whole picture that needs to be drawn together here. Young people live on dreams. But when they're yoked up with old people, that's why church ought to be old people and young people all together. When you separate them apart, you kill the whole thing. Because the young people need to hear the old people, need to hear what they remember. And the old people need to have that youthful ambition, that youthful vision. Because the youth have their life before them, and they are full of hope and dreams and ambitions. the old men kind of, they get that drained out of them through living through life, but they remember a lot of stuff that'll sure help these young people, making it easier for them to come. If they'll listen. And in order to for the old men to have their memories to be a minister to the young, they need to have a vision for the future too. And the whatever memories they relate to the young people ought to be to help them to get to the future without falling in the ditch. That's the way God intended things to work. Memories and the experience and the memories of the old are a guiding light for the forward-looking young. But the older are not looking back, but forward also. All right, then 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. I wish everybody could get a look at it like that. He said, follow me as I'm following Christ. If we could get a picture of this whole thing, like every generation is holding the hand of the one behind them and the one in front of them. If you could just get a picture that that's what this thing's like. And it all depends on this. Don't break it. Don't put division between generations. It's not, the old and the young are not supposed to be enemies. They're not supposed to be striving against one another. They're supposed to help one another. And that this little thing right here. Anyway, I hope it'll help you. Hope you'll remember this. And it'll be a help to you. Let's stand. One of the things about being a human being made in the image and likeness of God, you've got these two abilities. You better use them right. Better not neglect them. Better nurture them in the way that God meant for them to work in our lives. Amen. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the thoughts we've entertained here tonight. And thank you for the Scriptures that teach us to understand these things this way. Please help us, Lord. Those of us who are old, that we would be a blessing and a minister to those who are young. And I pray, Lord, that they would have the right ambitions and dreams in their life. And Lord, a heart to seek your will and to trust you and to get all the help they can get from those who are way up the line in front of them in this journey that we're on. Please go with us now. Bless the weak. Help us, Lord, to be a blessing to somebody. Help us, Lord, to keep our hearts right before you and to walk with you. Lord, we love you and thank you for the good day in Jesus' name. Amen.